Blog Talk Radio.
To be over. It is now time to step into the sippy zone where we explore the other side of reality. You are listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I welcome all of you to Tippy Talk, where we are dedicated to exploring a life that is lived with clarity, with confidence, with control, and awareness. And Tippy Talk is to go boldly to where you are, from where you are to where you want to be. And that is why I'm always thinking about ways to bring something into my life and into everybody's life that'll make it better, stronger, bolder, something that will make me step and do things that I'm afraid to do. And when I do things that I'm afraid to do, it is such a high, better than any drug you can try, better than any drug you have tried, I guarantee you, because life can be such an amazing journey when you take it on and when you deal with your fear in a way that, without drugs, totally sober and totally aware of everything. It makes everything in your body vibrate with so much pleasure. And so today, I am preparing for a talk that I'm going to give about pleasurable productivity. And so I'd like to welcome all of you for this hour, or maybe 45 minutes or whatever it takes, to talk about what is my pleasurable productivity and why am I so passionate and loving about it. And so to those of you who are just tuning in, my name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I am excited to unveil my new baby, my pleasurable productivity webinar. This is something I've been working on for a long time, and finally, it's here. And so let me start with a quote. Because before I start talking, before I start saying anything to you, I really would love for you to sit down and relax. And that's why I put that music on, so that you can relax. I have been listening to that song in my earphones, and it just takes me into a trance. That's how great it is. But before we start, not only do I want you to relax and enjoy and listen, I want you to smile. Because as Victor Borsch said, who is a comedian, he said that the shortest distance between two people is a smile. And I want the distance between us to be very short and just the right distance for us to be able to communicate, so that it's not a one-way communication with me just talking to you. It's two-way communication where you can also talk to me. And usually I do the gravity when I'm broadcasting off of my regular time, because my regular broadcasting time is 5 o'clock on Monday, live at 5 on Mondays. But today I'm excited about this and I wanted to talk about it. So if you do want to call in and you have something to say about what I'm going to be talking about, you can call at 914-338-0686. Okay, so feel free to call me. And so you have a choice now. You can either give me a smile, or you can wait until I tell you a joke, and then you can give me a smile. And so I'm going to assume that you're already smiling, but I also want to give you a joke. And so I'm not a good joke giver, and I looked up jokes because Google knows everything. And when I looked up trying to find a good joke to tell you, what I actually came up with was the definition of a joke. I never even thought to look up of a definition of a joke of what it is, but today I did. And I really enjoyed what it said, because I love words. So it said that a joke is a display of humor in which words are used within a specific and well-defined narrative structure to make people laugh. It takes the form of a story, usually with a dialogue, and ends in a punchline. Wow, that was such a great definition. I don't know why I think it's such a great definition, but it is, because when I tried to define what a joke means in my head, I couldn't. And so if I don't have you smiling yet, no worries. Because I also found something else. I found that the oldest joke recorded was a lowbrow Sumerian. I have no idea what that is, but that was recorded in the year 1900 BC. And it's a joke that I don't like, but I'm going to give it to you. And this is what it says in this quote. Thing which has never occurred since time immemorial, a young woman did not fart in her husband's lap. I don't think it's funny, but that's the oldest joke that they can come up with. And then I found an anti-joke, which was defined as a story that does not make you laugh. And then I found a meta joke. I had no idea there was all these jokes, definitions, and categories. I never even looked at jokes. That's why I'm not so good at it. The meta joke is something about a whole bunch of jokes put together to make one joke. And then I found the joke of the day, which I did not like. But words. I saw something that said, play with words joke. And of course, I love words. I love books. I love reading and writing. And play with words, I'm really passionate about it. I love playing with words. And so I found a joke that played with words. I actually found two. And okay, fine. I'll give you both of them, and then you can decide which one is going to make you smile. Because by the end of this, I hope you are going to be smiling, so that I can tell you about my pleasure of productivity. I can't do it until you smile. And so, joke number one is about a boy selling fish on the corner. So to get his customers' attention, he's yelling, "Damn fish for sale! Get you damn fish here!" The pastor hears this and asks, "Why are you calling them damn fish?" The boy responds, "Because I caught the fish at the local dam." The pastor buys a couple of fish, takes them home to his wife, and asks her to cook the damn fish. The wife responds, surprised. "I didn't know it was acceptable for a preacher to speak that way," she said. So he explains to her why they're damn fish. Later at dinner, he asks his son to pass the damn fish. He responds, "That's the spirit, Dad. Now pass the effing potatoes." See, now that I'm reading it to you, it doesn't even seem funny to me. But when I read it at first, it seemed funny. So now I'm going to give you one more joke. Hopefully this one will seem funny to me after I read it now for the second time. So a lady comes home from her doctor's appointment, grinning from ear to ear. She is so happy. Her husband asks her, "Why are you so happy?" And the wife says, "The doctor told me that for a 45-year-old woman, I have the breasts of an 18-year-old. "Oh, yeah," said her husband. "What did he say about you 45-year-old ass?" She says, "Oh, your name never came up in the conversation." Okay, if you're not smiling by now, I guess you never will, because I'm not a good joke teller. And you see how I notice how I keep saying I'm not a good joke teller, because maybe that's what makes me not a good joke teller. And that's one of the things that we touch about in that seminar, is how we control our life with the thoughts and the words that we use. And then we wonder why our life is what it is. And the timing for this is perfect, because it all comes down to priorities. And when is the last time that you review your priorities? Because there are so many things in our life that can wait. But improving our goals is not one of them. And pleasurable productivity is about overcoming procrastination. And I'm going to give you a few tips on how to do certain things to help that. So here is something for right now. I'm going to take a minute and I'm going to tell you about it. It all started on my 40th birthday when I was given another chance in life. And if you've been listening to this broadcast, you know exactly what happened to me, or at least you have an idea. But in case you have not been listening, I went from being a depressed and suicidal person that would try anything to take my life to the next level. I would have tried anything to make it better, but I didn't think that was possible. Because I didn't know that we can connect the dots and find life from another perspective. So I was on a very dark journey. I didn't have a clue where I was going. What I found is something that fits everybody that is ready to take a look right now. I found that I was going around in circles and I was depressed and suicidal and nothing was helping me. And then it hit me. I broke every bone in my body. And it changed everything. And I will tell you about that in a minute. But what came out of that is that I realized, I came to this huge realization. And that realization made me start thinking about pleasurable productivity and what I could really create. Because before that, I didn't have any idea that I could do anything. I just saw myself as a complete failure with no way out of it. I didn't know about an amazing gift that we have, that I have, that you have, that is about us being human beings, not necessarily about us doing something. And the problem that we have and the reason we don't do it is because most people are controlled by what we call a paradigm, which is a program, a certain program that's been following their entire life. And that program answers every question we have with the same point of view. And that keeps us stuck with the same result. So now I took what I learned from that experience and I put it together in a really organized way that we can go through week by week for 7 weeks. And this has the potential of making a big shift in your life. Because it totally changed my life. And so one of the things that we have to realize is that nobody can be who you are. So you have that specific gift that you can give the world and nobody else can. And thinking of yourself in any less than that, it's really being ignorant of the amazing, beautiful person that you really are and the amazing biological gift that you have received. You are very concrete, a very concrete thing in this world. And the mechanism of your mind is such a profound system of such organized power that it could be released only by you. And through one way, and that is only through discipline, which results in tons of productivity. So if you ever use the excuse of, I don't have time, or I don't have money, and I'm here to tell you, never ever do let time and money stop you from finding your authentic, passionate you. I would suggest that you begin spending your money on yourself, which is the most important person in the universe. You can do anything you want. So you can have the money that you want to do, whatever it is that you want to do. You can find the time to do it. You can actually do anything that anyone else has ever done. So in this program I'm going to tell you about today should be evaluated only by you. It should be your personal decision. So don't listen to anyone outside of you to tell you what to do. Use your gut feelings. Make a decision, yes or no, and stick by that. I'm okay if you make a decision of no, but I really do want you to make a decision now. Because one of the key rules that successful people use, the people that don't procrastinate uses, they make a decision fast. And then they change their mind really slowly. I was one of the worst decision makers. I couldn't even make a decision to go or to come. But I will show you how it can be changed, and I'll show you why it's important that it could be changed. So today is the day that I want you to make that first quick decision if you've never done it before. Doesn't matter what your decision is, but it matters that you make the decision. The question that we ask in pleasurable productivity is why not now? Because this is about overcoming procrastination and becoming very productive right now. And the question that you need to ask yourself is, do you know how to plan a future that is right for you? Do you know that you can overcome procrastination with pleasurable activities that can satisfy your body? Are you planning it or are you winging it? Because here's a small fact that makes a big difference. So listen very carefully. If a man does not know what port he's steering for, no wind is favorable to him. This is a quote by Seneca. And of course he's right. Because if you have to know where you're going to get there. Now that may sound a little bit simplistic, but many people have no idea where they're going in life. Pleasurable productivity will show you how to figure it out and plan it out and map it out. Much less the way they are headed, okay, so with the journey of the soul. So they don't know where they're going physically, much less spiritually. But these things have to be decided, not discovered. You can't discover your destiny. You got to decide your destiny. Because if you discover your destiny, you are giving up your birthright to decide. And way too many people are waiting to discover where they should decide. So you have to think about if you are one of them. And the question I have for you today that you should think about is, do you like to be inspired? And do you like to inspire? Because if you are the kind of person that likes to be inspired and that likes to inspire, it's probably why you are here. And it's probably why you are listening to this right now. Do you know what stands between you now and the you that inspires a lot of people? I'll tell you what it is. It is called procrastination. Some people call it, I'm just not ready yet. Others call it, I will do it tomorrow when I'm perfect. Some call it, I have to first study enough. I have to learn a lot. I have to figure out how to do it because I just don't know how. And some call it fear. And they are right too. Because procrastination is fear. It's a fear that can stop us from moving. It can paralyze us, but it can also push us forward. Because I learned a long time ago from Anthony Robbins that how to turn fear into power. And he was totally right. He said it was a matter of mind over matter. And he was definitely right about that. Now, Anthony Robbins is a great motivator. He's inspirational, he's dynamic, and he is all that. But the question that I'm asking myself is, why has he not inspired more people to stop procrastinating and to start acting on the things that they want to do? which is really to motivate people. He has inspired a lot of people. But statistically speaking, do you know that only 20% of people that go to any one of those motivational seminars actually get the benefit of going out and doing what they were taught? And that is because of procrastination. Because when you motivate it, most of the time you get motivated even more, because the fact of the matter is that in order for you to get really motivated, you have to motivate. In order for you to get really inspired, you have to inspire. And then you get inspired even more. And that is exactly why I'm so passionate about pleasurable productivity. Because Planning Power, the pleasurable productivity work that I do, I love it and it changes everything. And if you love it, it would change everything. It would put you behind the wheel of your own life. So let me put it in a very simple way. Do you want to start planning your future? That's what Planning Power is all about. It's about that power that you already have, you've neglected to use because others have been harvesting it for you. Others have been what you are going to do with your life and how your life is going to be planned. But the truth is that you can and you should claim it because it's your birthright, it's your guiding light, and it's yours for the taking. That's exactly why you should be going forward with planning your own destiny. And there are certain things, there are certain systematic steps that you can take to get off the ground. Okay, the Planning Power is for the rest of your life. But my 7 weeks dedicated to get you off the ground and on the ladder, or maybe even halfway up the ladder, is designed to start you on the journey. So start with your thinking. Yet, because thoughts create your reality. And what you think about all day long make up who you are. If you really think about it deeply, you are your thoughts. So the first question is, how do you reprogram your mind to think differently? And that's the question that we ask. And really, the first thing you have to really understand is your desire. If you really want to reprogram your life, then you have something to open that door. But you really have to have the desire. And if you've been disappointed with different programs, that may be one of the things that stands in your way of reprogramming your life. So that's just one of the things we touch on. Let me go back for a minute and tell you about what is Planning Power. Because Planning Power is the book that goes with pleasurable productivity. It opens up your eyes to the power that is inside of you that's always been there waiting to be unleashed. We already covered that, and you already know that. It's the power to plan your life. And sometimes you really have to be shook up to wake up. But you don't want to shake up to wake up, because I've already done that. And trust me, the pain is not worth it. But you could do that. So my plan is to shake you up as much as I can to wake you up if you're not awake. But if you're already awake and you're already wanting and you're already looking, then pleasurable productivity will amaze you. For me, the big shakeup was simply a dysfunctional brand new car that I drove right out of the car lot, and the brakes stopped working. And I freaked. Well, I didn't freak. I really kept myself together, saying, okay, my brakes stopped working, so I'm going to crash. And here I am on this freeway was called Highway 26, actually, nicknamed Death Alley. I didn't even know I was on a death alley, but I knew that my brakes broke, and I really knew I was going to crash, and I wanted to crash towards the divider in the highway because it had bushes and trees, and I could crash right into the trees. But when I took my steering wheel and I tried to crash into the trees, I also found out that the steering wheel wasn't working. Now, all this happened within 60 seconds. It's taking me way longer to tell it than the actual happening of it. I guess I also found out that I was really good under pressure because I didn't lose my ability to think. But when the steering didn't work either and my brakes didn't work, there was really nothing I could do at that point. And my seven-year-old daughter was sitting next to me, and she realized something was wrong, and she looked at me with these big eyes, and she went, "What are you going to do, Mommy?" And I remember I picked up my hands because I didn't have enough time to answer her. And it was kind of like a surrender, and it was a gesture that I surrender and I give up. And also to tell her, I don't know what to do. And just as I said that, that's when my car flew off the freeway. And he hit the first hill that was on its way. And then it started rolling down. And that was my shakeup. And it was so hard that almost every bone in my body was broken as the car rolled over and over and over. And then just before I stepped into the blissful threshold of life after death, which you guys call death, a flash hit me. And it was a very clear vision. It was my entire life flashing in front of me in a split second. And then I saw it in my clueless little way. I planned it. I planned everything. I saw a vision of myself saying, I'm going to die when I'm 40, because then I would have had a great long life and I won't have to go through my body deteriorating in old age. I just didn't want to grow old. And that was when I was 19. That was true. That was the realization that shook me. It shook me down to my very core. Because not only because I was stupid to say something like that, and not only because I actually, all that happened on my 40th birthday, it was also a very thoughtless way to think. I mean, I was really not thinking very well, but I did do it. And it was amazing that I was able to hold that kind of power to say something when I was 19 and then have it happen exactly the way I said it. And yes, I did it. I did it in the negative. And it was probably because I was in such a negative state of mind that it all came together. Because my environment was very negative. People around me were negative. I was depressed. Everything was not set up in a positive way. So it made sense that that would happen without me even realizing that I had started that engine rolling so many years at 19 and I was 40. That's 21 years ago. So once I realized that powerful truth, it implemented a seed inside of me that would grow and would reshape my entire life forever. I thought I was so brilliant. Until I started looking around and I saw that so many people were already saying exactly the same thing that I had just been hit with. So, for example, one book I picked up by Stephen Covey spelled it out perfectly. And he said, I'm not a product of my circumstances. I'm a product of my decisions. Okay, he said exactly the same thing that I discovered now. And yes, it was my very own decision to die when I was 40. And then it looked like I was out of control, when in fact, it was all under my control. I just didn't know it. And then I went on to look for answers, still looking for answers in everywhere except within myself. And I found so many authors that really understood that concept. And even it was way before I was even born. Lucky for me, I didn't go out and look for excuses or to blame anyone. I took full responsibility because I was so thirsty for knowledge and depth of understanding of what happened to me. And then I also found Florence Nightingale, an author, and she said, I attribute my success to this. I never gave or took any excuses. How about that? Exactly the same way I felt. And that's one of the weeks that we cover on pleasurable productivity on the 7 weeks. One of the weeks that we totally dedicate to taking a look at everything that is happening around us and finding how we have created it and standing up and saying, hey, you know what? This is what I did and this is what I would like to do. Because once you take the responsibility, you can always control it. So that's so much fun and so much pleasure to figure it out and to look around and to see what have you created until now. So this is what I call the reality check. We take full responsibility for everything. And we put your destiny in your control. And that, you begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But like John Quentin said, when you begin to see that light at the end of the tunnel, it's not beneficial to go out and build more tunnels, okay? So what we do instead is we go down that tunnel. We go down the tunnel and we take a look and answer a few questions like, what have you caught yourself doing? Have you caught yourself kind of watching and seeing that things are getting better and you start seeing things are growing, but then you start again focusing on the things that are not right and then the things that could go wrong? Because the way the universe stands, it's essentially a very friendly place. It's so friendly that it will give you exactly what you expect it to give you. And it's wonderful if your expectations are wonderful. Of course, it depends on what you expect. So the reality we discover around us after a week is a revelation that tells us what it is that we are expecting in order to get what we are getting. For some people, that's a very powerful and intimate experience. For me, obviously, I had to break every bone in my body to take a good look, but it really doesn't have to be that way. So I realized that, but if I held that key, then why not hold it in the positive? So the way I started to shift that and the way we start shifting it is by counting our blessings. That's a whole process on how we take full responsibility, how we take a look at everything and how we analyze it. Then we go to week two. And then we go to week three and four. Once a week we meet for 7 weeks. And by the time you walk away from the seventh week, you will be, which is the seventh week, is what I call the holy day of rest. Because God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. So in order to be very productive, in order to be very disciplined and successful and enjoy life, there also are a lot of things that we have to avoid. And one of those things is never to work 7 days a week. First of all, we don't want to get burned out. You don't want to be your own slave driver. And loving yourself is part of the pleasurable productivity. You have to love your own body, your own animal body, mine is a female animal body, but if you have a male animal body, you still have to love yourself enough to know when you have to give it a small break. And how can you have any pleasure and discipline when you drive, when you're slave driving, when you slave drive yourself? There is a saying that says, don't do unto others what you do not want to do unto you. But I think that also means don't do unto you what you do not do unto others. And so that's what you're going to end it up with on week number 7. Let me read you something about procrastination. I found a very cute poem, which I have read before. People that know me have heard it, but I like it, so I'm going to read it to you. And I think I also read it in another broadcast, but I'm still going to read it to you. This is a poem by David Donald Bruce about procrastination, and it's called Procrastination. So procrastination, what's the rush? I'll do it someday without a fuss, but until then, I'll take my time and maybe have a glass of wine. Why do it now when I can wait? I'll get it done before it's late. I work much better under stress, but that's not true. I must confess. To be on time is not my thing, for I'm a procrastination king. But one day, be it late or soon, I'll sing a very different tune. I'll be on time and get it done, although it won't be any fun. I'll be responsible, you'll see, and you'll be very proud of me. But until then, I'll take my time. Now, where's that third glass of wine? They say tomorrow never comes, so maybe then I will succumb. Very cute poem about procrastination. And because I'm so committed to overcoming procrastination, I kind of get fascinated with the procrastination thing. So that's basically all I can tell you. But since I have a little bit more time, I will tell you a little bit more. Tell you a little bit more about this, about the Pleasurable Productivity Workshop. And so week number, I'll give you another week. The second week is where we talk about finding the diamond in the storm. And finding a diamond in the storm is about how we deal with setbacks and negativity. Because if we're going to have a pleasurable, productive, and disciplined life, we're going to find all the setbacks that have been holding us back, obviously the procrastination. And getting over that and turning into the diamonds that they truly are is the brings out the beauty, brings out the diamonds into our life. So it's not about getting rid of the negative. It's about overcoming the obstacle and turning the negative into the positive. It's about transforming it. And that's where the fun really begins. But for me, it was also where the procrastination begins. And I made the choice to turn procrastination into positive and for looking for ways to do it. And I found like thousands of tips and thousands of books and lectures, but none of them worked for me until I figured it out. And it had to be pleasurable. It had to be a pleasurable journey. Because at the end of the day, we all yearn for pleasure. And why not? Why shouldn't life be fun? And why shouldn't pleasure be productive and disciplined life? I want that love just like everybody else, and I want it fun too. So we focus on the fun way to take the obstacles and turn them into pleasurable challenges. I learned this system when I was working with people who found themselves, I think it was in 2006 and 2007, that found themselves in an upside down house, or sometimes you would call it underwater. And I was in real estate. And we had to take this horrific situation of people that lost everything, where the houses that they had bought and were worth now half the price that they paid for it. People were losing their jobs. People were being devastated all over the place. And even though I was selling real estate, my passion was always to take away pain, to make people's life better. And so with every client that I had, and 90% of them were people with houses on the water, we had to figure out how to make that a productive and a pleasurable and somewhere in there find that diamond. And so when I took everything that I learned with that, and we made it through, and all of my clients came out smiling on the other side. But because I'm a procrastinating queen, I also made a decision that I really wanted to accomplish a few things. And I sat on that decision, and I sat on it, and I sat on it, and I waited for tomorrow so that I can start it on. Tomorrow always seemed like a great time to start, because today I had to go shopping. I had to talk on the phone some more. I had to work. I had to really make a list of things that I was doing instead of doing what I wanted to do. Because I was really busy. It wasn't like I didn't have things to do. I was busy doing the same things over and over again, just like everybody else. But guess what? I was not traveling where I wanted to go. And the discomfort grew. Even though I was doing my work, I was working with people underwater, I was being productive, but I wasn't doing what I really wanted to do, which was to inspire and be inspired. So I went looking for help. Went looking for help, and I found it, and I found the way of overcoming obstacle. And you will love that journey. And then we go into week number 3, where I discovered that no matter what you do, nobody can do everything alone. And if you want to be successful, you need a team, you need a coach, you need a friend, you need a lover, but for sure, you need someone to support your vision. And that is why, for the first 10 people that sign up with me today for the 7-week journey, I will give them one-on-one personal coaching that is worth thousands of dollars, and I will include it for free once a week, schedule at any time during that week that our schedule will allow. This one-on-one coaching will give you a personal edge on productivity that will speed up things and make it happen so much faster and so much more fun. Fortunately, I could not take more than 10 people for this. Obviously, the time element, I won't have it for any more people. So that is what week number 2 is what we focus on. We focus on finding that diamond, and then we start thinking about building that team. Then we go on to week number 3, where we create the plan. We start the planning strategies. We start building a map. You have the potential, but will you use it? So let me see. Then we have week number 4, which will start building the team. We start building a team. We start connecting. We start growing the vision. We start looking for the people that can support you. Not what we can get from others. It's not what we're looking for. We're looking for other people and what we can give them. Because as you know, the more you give, the more you get. And that is the law of nature. And that is why I'm giving so much. Because when you look to find what you can give, you always find what you want, and you will always find that the person next to you may have a vision that totally complements you. That is why the first 5 people that sign up today get a free book that I have with me. And if you want to buy that book, it's okay too. But the first 5 people sign up will get it for free. And if they sign up before you buy it, then I won't have any more. We'll also have a Facebook community where we can all connect at any time. And that is invaluable because all the people that are going to be coming are going to be people that are going to tap into their power. So they're going to be very powerful. And that group will probably evolve into a mastermind of ideas, but it will definitely evolve into a friendship, a connection, and a lot of times a partnership. One of the things that I always did that wasn't really good was I always did everything alone. I always thought that if I want to get it done, I have to do it alone because people let me down. And every time I depended on someone, they would continuously let me down. Well, anyway, that's how I felt. So I came to the point where I just did everything myself. And it worked to a certain extent because it either got done or it didn't, but it was up to me. But when you try to do everything yourself, you always get burned out. And so that was another strike for me. And as you know, actually, somebody, Babe Ruth, I think it was a baseball player because I don't watch baseball, but Babe Ruth said once that every strike brings me closer to the next home run. And that was a strikeout that definitely brought me closer to my home run. Then we go to week number 5, where we start dealing with getting rid of the clutter, decluttering spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. Decluttering and organizing is a very spiritual experience. And we'll give details. We don't have enough time to go into details right now. And then week 6, we call the pleasure and the beast. So this is a little bit, this is the week that we begin preparing for launching your new baby, your new project. Passion and the joy of releasing your gift to the world is unimaginable. Talk about how to unveil your passion in an authentic way, in a classy way, so you don't become a pushy salesman, you don't become an overworked slave. Talk about where we find the pleasure. Even though throughout the webinar, we will point out the pleasurable productivity system points, but this week we'll dedicate specifically to the pleasure principle. Because remember, without pleasure, you have got nothing because our human animal is always looking, wanting, craving the pleasure in every situation. If you do not hurt yourself, I think that's about it for week 6. And like I said before, week number 7 is the holy day of rest, and it is about what not to do. It's about being a pleasurable productivity is not just about what to do. It's also about what not to do. What not to do to succeed in pleasurable productivity. This is just as important as anything else. It's like with everything else. When you plan, planning power, if you do it too much, if you plan, over-plan and over-plan and over-plan and you don't stop planning, that's also going to stop everything for you because you can't, you have to stop at some point. You have to stop planning. So in closing, what I'd like to say is that pleasurable productivity is about claiming your planning power. And the question I have to ask you is, why not now? Because procrastination robs you of your future, it robs you of your past, and all you have left is right now. Now is the time to claim your birthright, to reshape your future in a pleasurable, fun, and exciting process that not only changes the way things turn out for you, but also have fun in the process. The whole idea is to bring awareness to as many people as possible that they spend every day planning the future without getting obsessed with planning, because that's something we already do it. We already spend the time planning every day and every minute unaware and unconsciously planning to destroy and destruct our own potential. So in closing, I want you to know that you are loved on this day for all the wonder that you bring to your world with the gift of being you. Sometimes that's hard to believe, that you are so special in the eyes of God. Yeah, you are. And not because of what you have done, but because of who you are. God's creation and expression of divinity in the human form. That's a quote from the book called Conversation with God. The fastest way to experience this is to be the vehicle through which others see themselves. Each person is walking his or her path and doing his or her best. God knows this, and that's why God loves you. That's a quote from Conversation with God by Neil Diamond Walsh. As for me, I have traveled all over the world to find resources and commodities, but I didn't realize that we already have it right here, right at home. The two most precious commodities that I found in life are time and people. And you can harvest that to make your life as powerful or as weak as you want it to be. If you can understand that, you can understand how amazing you really are. So let me finish this with a quote by Steve Maraboli, who was an author and a speaker. I find the best way to love someone is not to change them, but instead help them reveal the greatest version of themselves. And that's what pleasurable activity is all about, revealing the greatest version of yourself. And then let me see if I have anything else that I would like to add to that I have not added. Yes. I am going to just give you I'm going to give you the definition of procrastination. That will be the last thing I do. What is procrastination and why are we here today? And what is pleasurable activity? Let's see if I can give you a definition of procrastination. Procrastination means not to ever do today what you can do tomorrow. And that's basically it. There was a really cute quote the way they said it, but I'm not going to say that now because I don't remember the quote. We're also going to be talking about limiting beliefs. I don't want you to forget that. Okay, so I will close with a prayer. It's called the Serenity Prayer. And I'm sure you've heard it before. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. So one thing is for sure, you and I cannot do much about the price of anything. Or there's a lot of things that we cannot change. But being upset about it will not help at all. As a matter of fact, it would just make us more stressful. So even if we don't like the situation, in a lot of situations I don't like, but the best thing to do is accept it as one of those things that we cannot change and move on to the second part of the prayer, which is courage to change the things I can. And this is where your power lies. There's always something you can change in any situation, in any difficulty. It doesn't make any difference. Rather, than follow the herd and complain about the things you can't change. Use your innate abilities to change the things you can. Pleasure or productivity gives you an opportunity to change so many things that you can, and it's in your hands. You can always do something in a lot of different ways. So the third part of it is, and wisdom to know the difference. Knowing the difference between the things you can change and those you cannot is the key to taking charge of your own destiny and not becoming a victim of your circumstances. In any situation, just ask, is this something I can change or not? And that is the wisdom of the serenity prayer that we can apply to everything except what you cannot change. Accept what you cannot change, change what you can, and know the difference. Simple and productive. And that is my talk about pleasurable productivity. And I can think of a lot of things to do that I can improve it, but right now it sounds like it is time to bid you good night. Have a magical journey. My name is Tippi Feldenstein. You've been listening to Tippi Talk on pleasurable productivity, getting over procrastination, using your planning power. My name is Tippi Feldenstein, and I bid you a magical journey as you sit back and listen to the song that I played at the beginning of this podcast, which is Gravity by Newborn. And if you want to hear more by Newborn, you can go to newbornband.com. They have some pretty awesome music. So enjoy. Have a magical day.